First now to our Round the Grounds election coverage. And this week we're heading to Victoria to measure the mind and mood of voters there at the end of the second week of campaigning. It was yet another week where quirks and gaffes received rather more coverage in some quarters than actual policies did, much to the chagrin of many voters. There is a certain sporting issue chewing up a lot of headlines in Victoria too. Not too many complaining about that, I notice. But joining me now are a couple of keen observers of Victoria based in Melbourne. Michael Gawenda was a leading journalist for several decades. He's travelled with leaders on previous campaigns, particularly in 2007. He's a former editor of The Age, and he's currently a fellow at the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Geraldine.
And to a young woman who's never short of something to say and with a distinctive perspective, Stella Young. She's the editor of the ABC's Ramp Up website and disability portal. And Stella writes on many issues, including those related to people living with a disability. She's a full-time wheelchair user as a result of her own circumstances. Welcome, Stella.
Thanks for having me.
But let's hear first from a prominent Melburnian who can't be with us live, as he had to attend a very important family event this morning, Tom Harley. Well, joining us now as a concerned Victorian Liberal citizen, but also a man who's one of the federal vice presidents of the party, is Tom Harley, who I'm sure maybe doesn't wish to be reminded of this, but is actually Alfred Deakin's grandson. Is that correct, Tom Harley?
Great-grandson. I'm not that old.
Sorry. Great-grandson. Look, welcome. You're not able to join us live because you've got to be elsewhere in Victoria. As a long-time observer of Victorian voting patterns and attitudes, how are you reading this particular pre-election build-up time?
But I think it's actually hard to see the election at the moment because of all the football drama in Victoria. If you're a normal Victorian citizen, you'd be excused for not knowing the election was on. There's so much passion and heat around the drug scandals and the way the AFL has handled the Essendon Football Club that politics has really taken even more of a backseat than it often does. I think the characteristics of this election in Victoria are, I think, a kind of sense of disappointment or loss and sometimes anger about Julia Gillard, you know, who was a Victorian Prime Minister. I think there's resentment about that. There's some bitterness about the way all that was handled. It's not directed, as some might expect, towards Tony Abbott, but more to Kevin Rudd.
And yet, Tom Harley, from a couple of visits that I've had to Victoria, I found intense anxiety and despair among Victorian Labor people about the state of the party and under her prime ministership, whatever they thought about her personally. A sort of a real wringing of hands, you know, we're all ruined.
I think that the Labor Party in Victoria, and I don't profess to understand it, is deeply divided, and we've seen this in the pre-selection battles to succeed Martin Ferguson and Simon Crean. The intensity of it is hard to fathom. The Liberal Party has its own factional warfare, but nothing by comparison with what we've been seeing here. The other thing, of course, has been the issue of preferences for the Greens. That's certainly taken up a lot of space in the last week or two. And Tony Abbott's decision that the Liberal Party will preference Labor ahead of the Greens has caused a lot of angst, particularly in Melbourne, where Adam Bandt is quite popular. But I think there is an acceptance that people don't want the kind of uncertain politics that the minority government has seen.
And, of course, Victoria was Labor's fortress at the 2010 election campaign. I'm just reading from a Herald Sun article. The ALP's two-party result in Victoria in 2010 increased by 1% to 55.3%, its best result since World War II. Now, just again, your feeling, you wouldn't have liked that, no doubt.
No, and I think there was a Gillard factor in that. And I think Julia Gillard being the Victorian Prime Minister was a help in that. Then I think the defeat of the Brumby government and the establishment of the Baillieu and now Napthine government has done a lot to restore the Liberal brand in Victoria. The government on the latest opinion polls is doing well, and Dennis Napthine has a high approval rating. In Victoria, Labor had quite popular state governments. That's now changed.
When people do finally decide they have to vote and they temporarily leave the football aside, what's going to be uppermost in their mind?
I think it's bread and butter issues. It's the price of electricity, it's job security, it's the cost of living in this state. The price of electricity and gas have gone through the roof. Manufacturing jobs are under threat, and that causes uncertainty. And I think there'll be a reasonably strong swing to the Liberal Party because people want reassurance. They want to go back to the certainty of a stable government.
And just in terms of the coalition and how it holds together, the Nats are really striding out in ways they haven't before. I think the Nats MP in the seat of Mallee, he's retiring after 20 years, John Forrest, and the Liberals have actually selected Chris Crowther to go up against the Nationals candidate. You know, how do you read the state of the coalition?
I think we've had three-cornered contests in Victoria over the years. Sometimes they've been quite bitter, but I think it's normally contained to within the electorate. And normally a three-cornered contest, that's a Liberal Party, National Party and Labor Party contest, increases the non-Labor vote. It brings in Liberals and the preferences go to the Nationals and vice versa.
And of course, there is some tension between the coalition partners allegedly spreading over the seat of Indi, this very, very interesting tussle held by Sophie Mirabella, but now being challenged by a well-known and liked local candidate, rural affairs consultant Cathy McGowan. And she's reportedly been endorsed by Tony Windsor, because we know what he thinks about Sophie Mirabella. He made that quite plain.
Yes.
And may also have some national support. I mean, how do you read that?
Well, I don't think Tony Windsor's endorsement does much for anyone in Victoria. I think Tony Windsor is seen as part of the problem of the last 3 years, so I wouldn't want to be endorsed by him.
Really? Because I think, more broadly, I think I appreciate this is up to, for individual subjective views, but I would have thought he's come out of it quite well overall in an Australia-wide sense.
He may play better in New South Wales than he does here.
Right. But do you think that is it really in play, that seat of Indi?
I really doubt it. Sophie Mirabella is a very strong personality. And
she's divisive, though, isn't she?
And I think she's a feisty representative, particularly of small business in her electorate, and I've seen her in action. There'll be people who like her and dislike her, but I don't think that will have changed in the last 3 years. And if anything, the unpopularity of the federal Labor government, well, I would expect she'd get a swing in line with the rest of the state.
Do you feel you're confident now of what verdict will be passed on election day?
I think in Victoria, I'd say that the Liberal Party stands to win additional seats. There's, I think, Corangamite, which is the most marginal Labor-held seat in Australia, which is based around Geelong, the potential of Bendigo, and then at least two urban seats, Latrobe and Deakin.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Tom Harley, who runs Dragoman Global, it's a consultancy firm now. Well, Michael Gawenda, to you first. Would you compare and contrast your own views with Tom Harley's?
I think that Sophie Mirabella might be in trouble in Indy. She's certainly a divisive figure, both in the general community, in her own community, and even in the coalition, where she has people that aren't exactly enamoured of her. The independent candidate in Indy is well known and is polling pretty well. I actually disagree with Tom. I think the endorsement of Tony Windsor will help her. Because Tony Windsor, whatever you think, delivered for his electorate, and his endorsement is in those terms. So I think that seat might be in play. Not that Labor will win it, but the independent, that Cathy McGowan might win it. I think that the Greens will do better in Victoria than people are saying. I think there are a lot of Labor supporters in Victoria who were disgusted with what happened to Julia Gillard, even if they think she wasn't the greatest Prime Minister of all time. I think that the undermining by Rudd over 3 years and his supporters means that there are a number, I don't know how many, of Labor supporters who will vote Green rather than vote for Rudd. I think there's more disillusionment with Rudd in Victoria than there is anywhere else in Australia.
Really?
So I think that will matter. Some of those votes will go to the coalition, but some will go to the Greens, I think.
Stella, do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. I think that the Greens are actually in a surprisingly good position in Victoria. And I think part of that has to do with, you know, as Michael says, that there's a lot of disgust among traditional Labor voters over what happened with Julia Gillard. But the Liberal Party are doing some really interesting and controversial things in disability as well. The Department of Human Services are raising board and lodging fees in group homes by, I think it's 50%. So, you know, that's a very kind of alarming thing for a lot of people. And a lot of people I know who have been traditionally been Liberal voters but have friends and relatives in group homes are awfully concerned about that quite cruel treatment of people with disabilities, even in the face of, you know, Victoria being one of the launch sites for the NDIS.
Well, that the very interesting contribution yesterday of Cheryl Curnow on Fran Kelly's program, I think, and John Della Bosca agreed with her analysis, that one of the real gaps in the campaigning by, say, the Rudd team is that he's not mentioning the NDIS or the Gonski school reforms, which are surely centrepieces of Labor, very much go to a Labor core tradition, and centrepieces of this previous government because he didn't preside over them. And Michael, he's just sort of, the argument was shooting himself in the foot because he's choosing not to talk about them.
Well, I wrote a piece. I think Rudd is determined to wipe out recent Labor history. And wipe out whatever the achievements and the downsides were of the last two governments, Labor governments, including his own. That's why he never mentions the NDIS. That's why he doesn't mention the education reforms, because he sees this as an election about him.
You called it a referendum on him.
I think that's right, and I think this is a huge mistake. I think that he will lose that referendum. People don't vote for referendums
but
anyway.
Possibly, but there's 3 weeks to go. He could turn that, couldn't he? He could literally decide to shift that.
Well, one could, but not Rudd, in my opinion. Rudd won't do that. And I do think that there, I don't know this for a fact, but I hear and I read and there is now major concern that Rudd is has gone feral, that he's running his own campaign, that headquarters doesn't know what he's doing. Some Luncombe members have told me that they despair about this, that he's coming up with policies on the run now. Now, this is a worry. If this is the direction he's heading in, then Labor's in trouble. Labor's in trouble anyway. I just want to say one other thing, Geraldine. The media is different in Victoria than it is elsewhere, New South Wales in particular. And what I'm talking about is the Murdoch papers. The Herald Sun is nowhere near as feral.
As the Telegraph.
As the Telegraph.
Or the Courier Mail, possibly.
Or the Courier Mail. It wouldn't work in Victoria. And the same is true, of course, with commercial radio shock jocks. We don't have them in the same way that they exist in New South Wales. So the media atmosphere in Victoria, I think, is very different, and that matters as well.
Michael Gawenda and Stella Young are my guests as we're discussing Victoria. One of the interesting and less remarked upon aspects of our fabulous Vote Compass resource, Stella, ABC's Vote Compass resource, is the emphasis people placed on trust. They wanted to trust their leadership. And the analysis was, this is very difficult to tease out, actually, but it was named quite high up, actually, you know, after the economy, which has emerged very, very solidly, and then asylum seekers. But this issue of trust, now, how do you agree? How do you read that?
I suppose that voters have, you know, have lost trust in the current government because of what happened with Julia Gillard, and because there was so much, you know, from the outside, it just looked like there was such a lack of professionalism and commitment to really making the country a better place, which is what the government should be doing rather than kind of infighting amongst themselves. I think that people have a sense that we actually can't trust them to just get the job done, make the country a better place, you know, put the things in place that we want. I think that certainly what has emerged in the last little while has been that people don't trust the current government, and I don't think that they trust the coalition either, really.
Michael, have you pondered this?
Yeah, I don't think... I think trust is really a cover word for competence. If you recall, if you go back to the 2004 election, which Howard, John Howard made, the centrepiece was, who do you trust? All the polls showed that people didn't particularly trust John Howard, that he was a promise breaker. If you remember, he had core and uncore promises. But he won that election handsomely, and I think it was about competence. They didn't believe that Mark Latham had the competence to run a government. And I think the same is true now. I mean, what this matter of trust is really about a matter of competence. And I think, you know, there's a strong feeling in the electorate that the Labor government, Gillard government, before that the Rudd government, weren't particularly competent. And there's no evidence that they think that the coalition will necessarily be a competent government either. So the trust issue is really about can we trust these people to actually run the country?
I wonder if it is about presence, perceived presence too, that what it reflects, just picking up on your point, is that sense of people appearing to be very much in charge. It's quite a orthodox model of leadership, you know, and presiding. And whether that's also been in play. It looked as if it's been in play anyway.
Well, I think it has, yes. And I think every time we see a clip of either Paul Keating or Bob Hawke or John Howard at the height of their prime ministerships, we realise that the current crop are not there. They just do not have that kind of ability to project the leadership that they had.
Look, final question, really. Michael, you've reflected in your writing on campaigns past, and in particular on the rallies that were a feature of public life. Could you imagine how they might be reincorporated? Because quite a lot of what you've attended has been sort of fake, basically. Stunts.
Yes.
Could you imagine it changing?
Well, I don't have any great optimism that things will change, but I think it would be great if they did. I think that it would work in Australia. You know, for all the talk that, you know, that we have manufactured, we have imported American slickness in campaigning, the fact is the Americans still have rallies. They still have proper campaigns. Local members have campaigns. Presidents have campaigns where they actually have to address rallies.
Which are, by nature, at least a fair degree of spontaneity anyway.
Absolutely. They're big. I think that Australians would really appreciate that opportunity to be able to see their potential prime ministers and leaders operate in that environment. I think that what we're doing at the moment, what's happening in the moment, is totally turning people off politics.
And final remark from you, Stella. Will Victorians stop thinking about James Hird and actually start thinking about their local member?
Oh, look, I hope so. I don't give a hoot about football and I'm sick to death of it. But, you know, I think that the return to rallies, you know, way of doing things is a fantastic idea as well. I agree with Michael. I think that it provides some connection for people in the community with the leaders. And I think, you know, if we're going to borrow anything from the Americans, that's not a bad one
to think about. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stella, very much indeed.
Thanks for having me.
Stand-up comedian, what am I saying? She does do comedy, but she's actually, Stella Young is from the ABC's Ramp Up site, and Michael Gawenda from the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne. We also heard earlier from Melbourne businessman and Vice President of the Liberal Party, Tom Harley. And I always welcome your thoughts either online or via Twitter at Geraldine Doogue or our listener line 833 5975.